Listen very carefully this morning.
The
Lord has a message for all of us. The Lord has a message for all of us. And what we are looking at this morning is what I called escaping the trap of organized disgrace. Escaping the trap of organized disgrace. It has been well said that when grace is taken out of a man's life, what is left is disgrace. I'm praying for just one person here. The trap that is set for you to disgrace you will backfire. There is a trap that is set. It was an organized trap. And the purpose of that trap is to establish disgrace in the life of a person. In the book of Proverbs, that is going to be our working scripture. Proverbs 24, verse 10. Proverbs 24, verse 10. If thou faint in the day of adversity, then thy strength is small. If thou faint in the day of adversity, that is, God does not expect you to faint in the day of adversity. If it happens to you, it is not the fault of heaven. It is your fault. Your strength is little. Adversity means unpleasant situation. Adversity means a difficult period. Difficult period. Adversity is associated with hardship. Many in this country now, they are going through hardship. Adversity is associated with suffering, misery, heartache, tribulation, pain,
irora,
affliction,
wahala,
torture,
idaniloro,
distress,
kioko enima bale,
woe,
ege,
sorrow,
ibanuje,
disaster.
Awon ajalu lorisirisi.
Those are the things that are connected to adversity. All these things that I've mentioned, the Bible says, if you faint that they bombard you, then it means that your strength is little. Adversity is like an examiner. It comes to examine you to know what you have and what you don't have. Adversity will never leave you the way it met you. When it comes, it will either increase you or decrease you. Adversity comes unannounced. It is a rude visitor. When adversity is in place, it shows that we are called not for entertainment, but we are called to fight. To fight spiritual warfare. If thou faint in the day of adversity, don't blame the devil. Don't blame God. The only person that you should blame is yourself. Why? Say, because your strength is little. There is a day known as the day of adversity. The day of adversity is the day of two things. Number one is the day of test. And number two is the day of decision. The day of adversity is the day of two things. The day of death and the day of decision. No man can ever be neutral on the day of adversity. You will have to choose something. You will have to do something. It is a day of test. It is a day of decision. The day of adversity of Joseph was the day Mrs. Potiphar came to him and said, "Lie with me." There was no one around in the house. And the woman came. And she was pressurizing him. Lie with me. Lie with me. Although there was no one there, and the woman was ready to protect Joseph and to give him everything that he wanted. Bible history told us that Mrs. Potiphar had no children, and that she did not really love her husband. She was very rich, beautiful, but she was a bored woman. Very idle, very lonely. She looked around and saw Joseph. She suddenly took interest in Joseph, and she was ready to offer herself freely to Joseph. But Joseph said no. No, no, no.
Therefore,
the response of Joseph was very deep and very captivating. Joseph said to that woman,
say,
"How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" He called it great wickedness. He called it great wickedness. If you did not see sin the way God sees it, you will play with it, you will embrace it, and it will become your lifestyle. It is very sad that our generation did not want to call sin anymore. They now try to redefine sin with a more appealing and attractive name. They call pride, class. I have my own class. I don't belong to this class. It's pride. They call lies diplomacy. They call drunkenness socialization. They call gossip sharing. So I'm just sharing it. Whereas it's a gossiper. They call bribery greasing the hand. So you grease my hand, I will grease your own hand too. They call adultery extramarital affair. Trying to redefine sin and give it a more attractive name. They call fornication fun. So I'm just having fun. They call cheating being smart. They call prostitution commercial sex partner. In our country now, they call stealing national cake. And they are all chips. They call disobedience personal opinion. They try to color sin. Joseph called sin great wickedness. The day of adversity of Joseph, he did not fail. He passed. It's a day of a test and a day of decision. The day of adversity of Esau was the day he was hungry and he told his brother, give me food. Very, very hungry. And he said, give me food. His brother said, well, I will give you on one condition. Sell me your birthright. He didn't know that heaven was watching him. It was a day of adversity. What has birthright got to do with food? If not for the fact that Jacob too was a 419 person, why is he asking for the birthright? But heaven did not see that way. Esau said, what is birthright to me? He downgraded the importance of his birthright. The things that gave his destiny value. Esau became insensitive. He became deaf, dumb, and blind in the spirit. On the day of his adversity, he took a wrong decision. He failed in the very day that was supposed not to fail. The Bible says later in his life, he sought for that birthright with agony, with fasting, with tears, but he could not find it again. It was a day that is not supposed to fail. If thou faint in the day of adversity, it is your fault. Your strength is little. The day of adversity of King Saul was the day he was tempted to make a sacrifice which he is not authorized to do. He waited and waited for Prophet Samuel to come, but the prophet did not show up. After waiting for a while, King Saul forced himself to do the sacrifice. He didn't know that heaven was watching him. It was a day of adversity. Immediately he finished performing the sacrifice, Samuel showed up. And Samuel said to him, "You have done foolishly. You have done foolishly. God will have established your kingdom forever now. But because of what you did, your kingdom will no longer continue." I have to pray for somebody here. Any power that is pushing you to do what will make heaven to frown at you, I scatter that power in the name of Jesus. Saul was not a Levite. He was not a priest. He was only a king. It was a priest and a Levite that is authorized to perform the sacrifice. But that day, something pushed Saul. Go and do it. Go and do it. After all, you are a king. You have the authority. Go and do it. He didn't know that it was a day of test. He failed. He did not only fail, he also incurred the curse of destiny abortion. Because if he didn't perform that sacrifice, his kingdom would have been established forever. But Samuel said, "But now your kingdom shall not continue." His destiny was aborted, and there was no going back. I want to pray three prayers for somebody here who understand what we are saying today. Any curse of destiny abortion assigned against your life, I break that curse now in the name of Jesus. I pray the second prayer. The power that are pushing you to do the wrong things in your life, I bind them now in the name of Jesus. I pray the third prayer for you. Any power assigned to bring you down from your throne, because that was what happened to Saul. Any power assigned to bring you down from your throne, today, that power shall perish. In the name of Jesus. The day of adversity is the day where you will be asked to choose between light and darkness. You will be asked to choose between victory or defeat. You will be asked to choose between the flesh or the spirit. You will be asked to choose between spiritual blindness and open vision. You will have to choose between sin or righteousness. You will have to choose between destiny fulfillment or destiny abortion. It is the day that we will have to choose either hell or heaven. It is the day that you will have to choose between God and Satan. Listen very carefully. Every man will constantly face the day of adversity. Your fasting cannot stop it. Going for deliverance cannot stop it. It will surely come.
It
says, if thou faint in the day of adversity, your strength is little. For some people, that day may either be the day that heaven will promote them or demote them. Just like Father
Abraham,
God came one day and told Abraham, Abraham, take your son, your only son, even though Ishmael was there, but God did not consider Ishmael.
He
said, your only son, go and sacrifice him. That assignment was not easy for Abraham at all. But he didn't complain once. And he was a very wise man. He didn't tell
Sarah.
Because if he had told that woman, most likely, that woman would have said, no way. It is not God that is talking to you. He kept it to himself. When they were going, Isaac, for you to know that he's no longer a child, around 17 or 19 years old, he has his father. Say, Father,
Baba,
this is lamb. This is stick. Where is the lamb? Where is the animal? Abraham said, the Lord will provide himself a lamb. What a revelation. How did he know? Who told him? He was speaking by faith. When God saw what Abraham did, he was ready to kill the son. A voice sounded.
Say,
Abraham!
Abraham!
Don't kill the boy. Now, I am now going to establish a covenant with you. Because of what you did, you shall be blessed. Through you, the whole world shall be blessed. The Bible says, God sworn by himself. The life of Abraham got promoted. And his destiny never came down. He did not fail a day of his adversity. It was a day that heaven promoted him. For some people, the day of adversity is the day that defines their destiny on earth. Just like Gehazi did not know that the gift that he took from the man that day will define his destiny and ministry on earth. He didn't know. He had been doing it over and over again. But this particular day, it was the day of his adversity. Remember, the Bible says, the days, he said, the day, not plural, a particular day. That particular day, Gehazi failed. Elisha told him, Where are you coming from? So I didn't go anywhere.
Say,
so I followed you in the spirit. I saw you. Gaza. Is it the time to receive money and garments and gifts? Meaning that time was not a defining period for his life and ministry. That particular time was to define his life, his destiny, his ministry. But unfortunately, he failed. The man of God said, the leprosy of
Naaman
shall cleave unto you. It didn't stop there. And to thy seed. It didn't stop there. Forever. Gehazi put his unborn children in trouble. Because in the very day of his adversity, he disappointed heaven. You need to say amen to this prayer. Because it's going to work for somebody here today. Any evil arrangement to make you fail in the day of your adversity, I scatter them in the name of Jesus. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. Why should a man fail in the day of his or her adversity? The Bible gave us the answer. Small strength. The strength is there, but cannot withstand the bombardment of the adversity. When your spiritual strength is little, the power of adversity will overcome you. I'm going to say that again. When your spiritual strength is little, the power of adversity will overcome you. I will say it one more time. It has to register into somebody's spirit. When your spiritual strength is little, the power of adversity will overcome you. That is why the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, verse 10, tells us what to do. Ephesians 6, verse 10 tells us what to do. Said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Finally, my brethren, I'm not talking about the unbelievers. Brethren, believers, Christians, say, be strong in the Lord. What does that mean? It means a person can be weak in the Lord. You are in the Lord, but you are weak. He gave us the command. Be strong in the Lord. Don't be weak. Because if you are weak, even though you are in the Lord, you will be overpowered. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. A woman was talking. She said she needed prayer. She told me her story. She got married. few weeks after the marriage, she said she was in her room. All of a sudden, somebody walked in through the wall without opening the door. And the person was putting on a mask. And the person stood in front of her. She was the one telling me this. She said, "Sir, that fellow that stood in front of me told me that, well, that they have decided that in this marriage, no children." And she said, right in front of her, this person dipped his two hands inside her stomach and brought out her womb. She said she saw her own womb in the hands of this fellow. She tried to scream. She said she couldn't scream. And that was how this fellow just walked away with her womb. I asked her, when did this happen? Said 18 years ago. For 18 years, she could not conceive. Whose fault? It's her fault. Her strength was little. The enemy came. They overpowered her. What belongs to her was stolen. And she could not take it back. I'm praying for somebody here today. Any power that is stealing from you shall die. In the name of Jesus. But the problem is that she did not have enough strength. Her spiritual strength was little. She cannot blame God. She cannot blame the Holy Ghost. God is all powerful. His power never fails. His blood, the blood of Jesus, never fails. But how are you building up yourself? Most of the time, the devil is not the problem. We are the problem. When we as Christians refuse to build up ourselves spiritually, we surrender our rights to the enemy. The Bible commanded us to be strong in the Lord. Because to be spiritually weak is to become a victim of organized disgrace. The Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. How can you resist the devil if you are spiritually weak? The Bible says, fight the good fight of faith. How can you fight the good fight of faith when you are weak spiritually? The Bible says, occupy till I come. How can you occupy when you are not strong in the spirit? The Bible says we should run the race that is set before us with patience. How can you run the race when your spiritual stamina is low? I would like you to raise up your right hand and say this with a loud shout. Holy Ghost! Empower me afresh! Say it with a shout!
Say it again. Shout it again. Say it again. Open your mouth and shout it. Say it one more time. Jesus specifically told us in Matthew 10:8, he gave us an assignment. All of us, he said, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils, heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out devils. How can you do this if you are weak spiritually? We must wake up. We must quickly do the right thing. We must be sincere with ourselves. Let me ask you, do you want to escape the trap of organized disgrace? Then you must build up your spiritual strength. We are in the last days. The enemy is getting stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. The question is, how do you develop your spiritual strength? The answer is very simple. Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And with that strength, they will mount up with wings as eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint. How do you build up your spiritual strength? You must know how to wait upon the Lord. You must know how to wait upon the Lord. How do you wait upon the Lord? You wait on the Lord by eating His word. Eating His word. Jeremiah 15:16 says, I found thy word and I eat it. Just as physical food supply you physical strength, the word of the Lord will supply spiritual strength. The word of God is the principal instrument that God uses to build up our spiritual strength. Anything that you are doing in the kingdom must be word based. You are praying, it must be word based. You are singing, it must be word based. You are serving in the house of God, it must be word based. Your eating must be word based. Your dressing must be word based. Everything that you do in the kingdom It must be word based. A believer that fails to connect with the settled word will never be settled in life. I say that again.
He
said, "Thy word, O Lord, is settled in heaven." It is a settled word. If you don't connect with a settled word, then the life of the person too will not be settled. Jesus defeated the devil 3 times with "it is written." It is written. It is written. That is how to build up the spiritual strength. And after the devil left him, the Bible says, and he returned in the power of the Spirit. And then his fame spread abroad. He returned in the power of the Spirit. And then his fame spread abroad. He became known. He became celebrated. Why? He picked up his spiritual strength. He was able to put the devil down by "it is written." My brother, my sister, what is your relationship with the word of God? How do you take the word? How do you see the word? There is nothing anybody can do to help you outside the word. The Bible talks about the Berean Christians. So after they have heard the word, they will go back home. They will settle down and begin to search whether those in which they have heard is true. They became a strong believer. What we believe in this ministry is the word of God. Anything outside the word, we are not part of it. You are doing deliverance, you are praying, you are fasting. It must be word based. It is this word that created everything that you are seeing now. It is the same word that God spoke when he saw the earth empty. That is the instrument. That is where the power lies. If you are void of the word in your heart, you will enter into the trap of the enemy. Your strength becomes little, and you cannot blame anybody. Let me share this again. I'll share this several times, and I will say it again, because I'm sure it's going to help somebody. Something that happened to me long, long time ago. This was before I got married. I finished my prayer that day around 12:30 a.m. I was living alone, and I sat down just to relax a little bit. I was not sleeping. All of a sudden, at the roof of my house, I saw this big rat. Me looking at the rat, you will know that this is not an ordinary rat. The way the head looks like, and the way the body looks like, I didn't see anything. I was looking at the rat, and majestically, he was just coming like that through the wall, and then it came and stood in front of me. I was sitting down. I looked at the rat. He too was looking at me. We are both looking at each other. After about a few seconds, the rat turned and was going by the same route that it came. At that level, I opened my mouth. I'm praying for somebody here. Any evil visitor that comes to your house shall perish. In the name of Jesus. At that point, I spoke. Rat, come back. The rat heard what I said. And the rat spoke back to me in Yoruba language. Said, I know that you are a stubborn man. And I know that you will not allow me to go like that. Brethren, you are alone in the house. And rat was talking to you with a female voice. What will you do? The rat came back and stood. And I began to talk to the rat. Because it's no longer a rat. He has become a stranger. And I said, rat, number one, I didn't invite you here. Number two, we do not pay house rent together. Number three, you are a stranger. And the Bible says, that is the key. The Bible says, the strangers shall be afraid out of their close places. So because of that, I command the thunder fire of God to fall upon you. Many of us, we don't know the kind of power that we carry. A believer is not just an ordinary human being. The Bible says we are seated together in heavenly places. Far above. Principalities and powers. We are not on the same level. We are far above. We are where Christ sat. And that is where authority comes from. Immediately I pronounce the fire of God to come upon the right. Right there was a spark. And fire began to burn. Right from the tail, the rat was moving. Wanted to run. But it's as if a power has glued it to the ground. It was just burning. And it was shouting. Oro. 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 Any evil visitor that comes to pay you a visit shall receive torment. They shall be tormented. They shall be tormented. They shall be tormented. They shall be tormented. In the name of Jesus. And that was how the rat got burned. But if I did not have the spiritual strength, three things is likely to happen to me. Number one, I will just become deaf and dumb. And number two, I become blind. I'm paralyzed. And number three, the person will just go back to bed and will not wake up again. Many have been killed like that. And they are Christians. If you faint in the day of adversity, it means your strength is little. Bow down your heads, please. There is somebody here this morning that God wants to empower with fresh fire, with fresh power, with fresh oil. There is a brother in this church now. There is a sister in this church now. The Lord wants to equip you afresh with His power, with His anointing, so that your words will carry fire, so that your shadow will carry fire, so that when the enemy comes against you, they will bow before you. Right there where you are, begin to talk to the Lord with your own mouth. Father, empower me afresh. Fill me with your power. Fill me with your power. Fill me with your fire. Fill me with your power. Talk to the Lord now. Don't joke with it. Don't play with it. Don't joke with it. Don't play with it. Today is your day. You must go back home with fresh fire. You must go back home with fresh anointing. You must go back home with fresh glory. You must be empowered. 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 Your strength must be renewed. 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 Don't joke with it. Lord, empower me afresh. Fill me afresh with your anointing, with your fire, with your power, with your fire, with your power, with your fire, with your power. Thank you, Jesus. Rasiketa na ripoko foto shikayama. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.